Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Unreasonable Art of Living podcast. I'm your host, Gerhard Molin, and as always, enjoy the music. Welcome back to another episode. As always, I hope you're doing fine wherever you are right now. And today we have episode 40. Wow, that's quite something. And yeah, I think a round of applause for you, my dear listeners, and for my dear friend Moritz, who produced this intro music and has been an integral part of this podcast ever since. So yes, thank you so much. Wow, episode 40, amazing, absolutely amazing. Yeah, I'm quite humbled, to be honest. And yeah, I'm still in Helsinki at the moment. I'm really enjoying my time here. It's really cold. the sea is frozen. There's still snow and ice on the streets. Quite a contrast to Vienna, where there's, like, you know, when I left close to 10 days ago, it was 14-15 degrees. But I'm soon back in Vienna. And yeah, this week, I mean, actually recording is on a Monday, and usually I record is on a Sunday, but you know, like, at the moment with the whole Lumi, our app we're working on, this joyful personal development app, there's so much, it takes so much time. It's not a negative. It's just like, wow, it requires so much time and focus. And I had to also really feel into, because on Sunday, there was no feeling. Like, I promise you, I will do more like episodes about around flow and like talking about my coaching. But then I thought, like, the most joy I actually had recording this podcast is just, yeah, having reflective sessions, things I thought about philosophy, spiritual questions, life questions, things that I thought about that week and I wanted to share and like speak aloud and use this also almost like an, you know, selfish diary. And yeah, I kind of like really had to feel into it. On Sunday, didn't feel like recording it. I didn't want to do another flow episode, because for this, I would have to do a proper preparation. And currently, like, there's no day where I don't work on Lumi, either as software engineer or, yeah, just with the team. There's so much just going on at really high pace, really positive in that sense. Like, it's just taking a life on its own, and we are just trying to hold on to it. And there's so much exciting stuff we are about to launch this week. We want to do later in a few months. And yeah, the whole journey, it's just taking off right now. And we also want to apply for the Y Combinator in April. It's an accelerator in Silicon Valley. So we're preparing for this as well. And just lots of good stuff happening. And then I thought, like, yeah, I think I need to, for the podcast, just take it easy again. Go back to the beginnings. Just use this, you know, as a reflection tool, as sharing more about just my life and what's going on for the time being, because there's just not enough time. And there's some, yeah, I just need to be honest with how I feel, my energy. And really, for me, I also realized, because when I started in autumn, winter, like, to do a lot of like social around my podcast. And I think I realized it stressed me more out than it gave me joy. And it was an amazing experience. There's a lot of cool content that came out of it. But actually, what I really enjoy is sitting down, recording without video, just me and the microphone, my thoughts, and kind of like knowing that you, my listener, are here without being here. And we just have like, kind of like a room for reflection. And I think I want to go back to this format for a while. At least for now, because there's just so much Lumi and My Lumi, that the whole app and the company development takes so much time, and in a good way. There's so much joy coming out of it, takes so much energy. And I realized the best thing to do is always just never do something for expecting XYZ to get this. And since I started this whole, sharing more on my social with the podcast, I don't know, there's always this pressure like, okay, what do you produce? Is it resonating? How is the reach? Blah, blah, blah. Did people like it? And it kind of like distracted me from just the joy of recording. That's what I want to do. What matters is just having a good time recording this episode. And I think I'm going back to that, to really trust that the most important indicator and benchmark is always trusting your heart, trusting your intuition, and do the things you love and enjoy for the sake of love and enjoying it. So, yes, what a beginning. But I think it's a good point for episode 40. I mean, like, it's 40 episodes. It's crazy. 40 weeks. In 16 episodes, we're going to have 1 year premiere of this podcast. I love it. And thank you, dear listeners, for staying with me and keep coming back every week. It really, really gives me so much joy. And I think let's focus on that, the joy of life. I've back to Earl Grey tea. Yes, I discovered the most mind-blowing tea ever. Did I record it last week? No, I did not, because I discovered it a few days ago. So there's a really nice coffee place, Johan Nyström, in Helsinki. And they have, I think a completely new world opened to me in terms of tea. And two tea in particular. I forgot now the name. One is, I think, called Milky Sholong or something. And the other one is called, I can't say it now. Something with gum. I don't know. It doesn't mean gunpowder, but it's kind of like what it smells. So there's two teas I want to talk about. The first tea is a pure black tea. And so I didn't know what she recommended to me. And I got the tea. She prepared it for me. And then I picked it up in a pot. And I had a call, so I didn't take a sip yet. But I was like sitting while I was talking. I was like, it smells like sauna here. Like this, whenever you were experienced a real traditional sauna in Finland, it's a very smoky sauna. You have like this very smoked smell. It's like smokiness. It's a beautiful smell. I love it. I was like, it smells so like sauna here. What's happening? Does this place have a sauna? And then I looked at my tea. I was like, no, it can't be. And I took my tea and I smelled and I was like, holy cow. This tea smelled like the smokiness was incredible. And then you drink it. It's like, I've never experienced a black tea like that in my life, where like this incredible, strong smokiness flavor. Almost like if you maybe you can imagine what it tastes like. If you ever tried or smelled smoky whiskey, exactly like that, but in the form of tea and no alcohol. It was incredible. I need to buy some and take it with me to Vienna. But this was not my highlight. My absolute highlight was the Milky Sholong, I think it's the name. And this is a mixture. It's kind of like, she's like, one day I went to her and she's like, and I was like, what else you got? And she's like, hey, we got this very special tea. You know, she didn't say it that way, but let's assume. Do you want to try? And then she opened this secret, what's in English? To Google it quickly. No? Just find the word. It's a cover. Secret cover. Let's say it this way. And it's like, you want to try this? And it's like, yes, give it to me. And it was a Milky Sholong is a mixture of black and green tea. And I kid you not, why it's called Milky Sholong? Because it smells so silky, smooth, milky. There's no milk in it. It's like, I've never smelled anything like that. And then the taste. Wow. It's like this really, silky, smooth, vanilla, milky taste. It was absolutely incredible. And this really, yeah, of course I knew there's more than Earl Grey tea and English breakfast tea. But the thing is, in Vienna where I work, like there's no coffee place close by or like any shop where I could have explored this kind of tea. And it's like this, like, wow. And now I need to buy a lot of it to take it with me to Austria. And then as soon as I'm in Vienna, I'm going to look up the next specialized tea store. And yeah, wow. And then it's like the cool thing about tea, especially when you get into it and you have like this really amazing flavors. I mean, I love coffee. I love my espresso. With tea, you have like a whole pot and you can enjoy it much longer. I love that kind of experience of enjoying a beverage for a longer time. And it's just like this, you just sit with it. So yeah, my tea highlights, absolutely mind-blowing. And, oh, now wait, I hope you still hear me. I just press some buttons on the editing thingy. And this week's topic, I was not sure on Sunday, as I said, I didn't want to talk about and produce a flow series, but then I had a beautiful evening at a friend's place. I was visiting him, his fiance, and his 2.5-year-old son. I love him, such a cute boy. And we had dinner, beautiful evening, and there was one question, like, I mean, it was not no ill intended, just a normal question, but it really inspired me. She was like, because she also started a company quite recently, besides her normal job, and she asked me, but what if you fail? Because I talked about our startup, our app, and like this question, like, what if you fail? What if we fail? And for me, the answer was quite clear. Like, you know, like when she was asked, do you have plan A, like other plan B or C? Like, you know, what if you fail? Is there other plans? And it was such a beautiful question, because for me, it just realized quite important topic about when you try something, you want to try something, is the commitment and fear of failing. But for me, my first response was like, oh, well, when it happens, then we will see. But now is now. And for me, there is no plan B or C. That's just plan A. And then I thought about it, like, what profound difference it makes. Whenever you try something, and I'm just fixing the microphone. It's now, 1 second. Yeah. It's having its own life. So because what happens if you actually try something and you half-heartedly commit to it? And you kind of like lay out all the plan B and C and safety nets. You kind of like, there's a small, subtle, we all have it. And that's the thing. We all have this within us, this doubts. We have them. So we have to deal with them anyways. But on top of that, you will encounter eventually, and I'm not saying these are ill-intended people, it's also like their fears and doubts expressing themselves because they don't know it better. You will meet people that doubt in your idea. So you have to first deal with your inner critics and doubts, but then you also have to deal with the doubters out there. So now when you actually start making plan B, C, or a safety net, what happens? Mentally, you actually allocate energy, really important energy, into creating plan B, Cs, and safety nets, just in case. And all this energy you take away from your main goal, from your absolute main goal, which you should have. I'm not saying you're getting delusional here. It's like, you know, you will succeed anytime. There's no guarantee of success ever. But it makes a difference if you're fully committed to something or half-heartedly commit or one-quarterly commit to something. Huge difference. Because it also starts in like, if you feel fully commit to it and you also think about where you want to see, where you want to go, the goals you see in this, and that's where the science behind moonshot goals, we all know it. Because quite simply, imagine the two people. One person fully commits to something. They're going to try something really big, really something wicked, outrageous. It's like, wow, that's like very impactful. Person B wants to do the same thing, but thinks much smaller. So what happens? person A with this outrageous moonshot goal, the way decision making works will be very different. Because you have like this very outrageous moonshot goal, you start from there, then you boil down into small and small decisions until you are on where you land in today. So your this whole decision chain from between today and where you want to be in 5 to 10 years, and let's don't get stuck on timelines, just like we have this huge, humongous vision in front of us. And once you boil back from this huge vision, this moonshot goal, and you boil it back to smaller and smaller, smaller, smaller goals, actionable goals, until you reach your current day, your chain of decisions looks very much different than your chain of decisions when you have a very small, safe goal. Let's say you play very small. That means you already limit your decisions and your pathway way more than if you think really big. And you play it way too safe, very, very narrow, because you doubt yourself. You're afraid to fail. Because as soon as you make small goals that are easy to reach, and it's, I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm just like, the mindset is different. And you're much more willing actually to invent, to create something that has never been done before and like with much bigger impact. If you're willing to think really big and you're allowing yourself to think really big, but also allowing yourself to fail along the way because of that might happen. But the difference is just in the mindset, in what decisions you take every day. Because if you think bigger and you commit and there's much more on the line, you're much more focused. You're much more committed than if you play it safe all along. And it reminded me like, you know, why I quit my job, why I had to think, you know, of course I could have been able to try to ramp up Lumi slowly over the next years. And I'm saying it's wrong, but I thought like this is not the game I want to play. Why I had to quit was exactly that. Because I wanted to see what I can do if things are on stake. And what I mean by that, luckily I can stay at my dad's place, but every month my account gets smaller and smaller and smaller. There's no money coming in. And there's no plan B, what happens when there's no money anymore. Because I wanted to put myself in a situation where I had to focus super, 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 super duper. Where things really are on the line. And so far, this really helps because like there's no, you don't waste time. You don't waste, it makes it very easy for you. Actually, it helps you to make decisions very easily. Do you want to go on a weekend partying? Do you want to go to week spend money on that? Do you want to go to this event? Do you want to spend time on that? And because there's so much more on the line and there's no money coming in and there's actually a deadline when you know, all right, around that time, I'm going to run out of money. It keeps you sharp. It keeps you focused. It keeps you humbled. It keeps you grounded. Because suddenly it's much easier to say no to majority of the times, which are normally just a distraction to you. Because if you play it safe and you know, oh, there's just a safety net and there's like, there's plan B and C, you eventually will have, it's much harder to make decisions in a moment that will lead you closer to where you want to go or that will distract you. And you will learn that actually it's very beneficial to say 9 of 10 times no and 1 time yes. And why this inspired me, because like I thought like, you know, when she asked me a question, and again, I just want to underline this, there was no ill intention, it was a beautiful conversation. I'm very grateful for that question because it sparked a conversation. For me, I was looking, I was actually surprised at myself that I was like, oh, I don't actually have any plan B or C. And I've never thought about like what happens if it fails. You know, if it fails, then it fails, then we're going to look at when it happens. But at this stage, all I see is my day-to-day focus. What can I do every day to move 1 centimeter closer to where we want to go? And to be a driving force, to drive this really forward with my team next to each other. And I remember, I mean, I promised myself in autumn, to calm my rational mind, my fears. Hey, you know, like, let's give it a go for 6 months. And if there's no positive signal, then, you know, we can always readjust. And to be honest, I had no idea in November, in October, when I quit my job, where we would be with the company, with the product in February. Yeah, you know, so there was a clear idea, an idea that we want to launch in January, but the early access. But what happened in the last 6 weeks since the early access was completely unexpected. In terms of, there's definitely a clear drive and we're onto something. We're definitely onto something. Now we just have to double down even more and focus more. And it is helps us to really, really focus on the essentials and creating something absolutely amazing. So yeah, I hate plan B. I hate plan C because it's just derails you and gives you a false sense of safety. And it also shows that, you know, like, if you think in plan B and C and safety nets, it takes away the fear of failing. But I think this fear of failing, because there's nothing wrong. Failing is just the essential part of any learning, any innovation, any creative process. But we have been just programmed over decades through schooling and also in society that failing is something bad. But I see failing as this absolute, it's not always a nice experience, but it's an essential experience for growth and innovation. And it's part of this natural cycle of creation and destruction. And you know, if we fail, well, what else is there to do? Then we get up and try again. All right, dear listeners, today is going to be a very short episode. I felt like I wanted to share this insight. And I want to also give you the courage, if you ever thought about trying something, don't be afraid to fail. I think there was a beautiful interview by Michael Jordan once, and he said, you know, like the interviewer asked him, like, hey, man, ask him all about his successes and everything. But then Michael Jordan said, you know, you only see the successes, but you don't see the 9,000 failed shots. 9,000 failed shots. Let this sink in. The greatest basketball player of all times had 9,000 failed shots. And it's just a stigma that we have to failing. I don't know why we can't be open about it. Because this is the real foundation of any success. The success you can see when it happens, it's just a micro event, a micro snapshot. And we only want to focus on that. But it's really the dip, the very, very, the highest point, like the smallest dip of a mountain is the success. Everything else below is a process of failing, trying, growth, pain, learning. And that's what makes the majority of anything that tries to be innovative, that anything tries to make a difference. All right, dear listener, I will leave it at that. And what do we have for kind of music, outro music? Oh no, let's put this movie. This is nice. Yes, I haven't played this in a long time. Yeah, I'm just like, thank you so much for listening so far, for following me, following this journey. It has been quite humbling. And episode 40, it's crazy. 40 weeks of this podcast. And, you know, I try to be very honest and transparent. Also, like, when I don't feel like recording, like this weekend, I want to share with you that actually, whenever you feel like this, we call it negative emotions, but there's nothing negative about them. They're very honest guides and teachers that help, that want you to look into something. Let's maybe call them just low emotional vibrations. They're part of us and we should not neglect them. Actually, we should connect with them because they really want to help us to look into something more deeply and understand why we feel that way. And there are two ways to look at this, you know, if the in the environment, the situation you're in, or the people you're with, and they all like really serve your deeper needs and you feel actually very comfortable with them, then there's maybe something, a part in you that wants to heal. But if you're in an environment, a situation, or with people around you that don't meet your deepest needs and serve you and, you know, like want you to succeed, and you vice versa, of course, then actually it's a good teacher and guide to look into why is that way. So, my dear listeners, whenever you feel like, let's say, negative emotions, just know there's really nothing wrong with you. If at all, maybe there's something wrong the environment you're in, the situation you're in, or the people you're with, and it's an invitation to look further, to look deep inside you and have the courage to look inside and not be afraid what might be hidden beneath these emotions. It might be either healing or decisions that have been postponed for way too long. Either way, my dear listener, I hope you're having a wonderful day wherever you are right now. Until next week.